Hi, welcome back to another episode of This Expat Life. And I have another guest in the digital studio, one I'm very excited about because I've been following her for a longer time on LinkedIn already. And I was really determined to get her onto the show because her expertise is something that I think a lot of you are interested in. Today, I'm joined by Keki Mwaba, and Keki is the founder of Expat Career Development and provides international professionals like yourself with tailored career development services to help them succeed. She worked for several years leading tech recruitment at global companies such as Disney, Uber, and Reddit. And she's an expat herself, as she's from South Africa, and she's been living in the Netherlands for a couple of years now. And she has a unique understanding of the challenges of finding a job when you don't speak the local language, require visa sponsorship, and have entry-level work experience. Her goal is to share the many lessons she learned with expats who are keen to enter a new international job market and to best position themselves to potential employers. And that's also what we're going to talk about today. And I'm very happy that Keki is on the show with me. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Amanda, for that introduction. And I'm really happy to be on the show today.
Great. I'm really excited about it too. First, before we dive into everything, where are you calling in from right now?
So I am in my home in Amsterdam, and it is a rainy day here, but I usually work from home or from a co-working space. And it's awesome that I'm connecting with you in Brazil, opposite side of the world. So go technology.
Very nice. Yeah. And it's also very rainy here. So I think we share that today. But I'm really happy that you're here and that you can share about your expertise working with expats in their careers and maybe something of your own experience. And maybe to start with that, personally, I have to say, I've been really lucky, I think, in the last couple of years, because I have worked abroad myself a lot, but I never had to require a visa for it, because it was in the EU countries at the time, or I was a diplomat, so that was all arranged for me. But I hear it all the time from my followers, from my clients, that their careers actually giving them a lot of headaches, or it puts some pressure on their lives because they need a job to stay in the country, or they don't really like the job, or they want to move for a partner, or, you know, for another reason, but they find it hard to break into the markets there. So can you maybe share something about some of the common challenges that expats can face when they're trying to build their careers abroad?
Yeah, great question. So I think, as you mentioned, visa sponsorship is definitely a big thing. As a South African citizen, I required visa sponsorship to live and be able to work in the Netherlands. So how I came to the Netherlands was I got a scholarship to do my master's in psychology here, which was great. But then after I finished studying, they're like, okay, you have 1 year to find a job on a Searcher or Zoekjaar visa, or else leave the country. Yeah. So in the beginning, I was kind of like chilled, like, yeah, that's enough time. And then I was like, towards the end of the year, I was like, oh my goodness, I still don't have a permanent job. Yeah. So I think that's something always on the back of expats' mind in terms of, you know, whether they need a visa or their visa is tied to a company, that it's something that they don't totally feel free on the labor market. So fortunately, I was able to find a job that did sponsor my visa. But even then, I had to be very strategic about moving from one company to another, because it is a little bit of a risky move until you get citizenship or permanent residence. So that's definitely one thing. I'd say secondly, just navigating a new job market. When you're in a new country, wherever you're based, there are companies you might not know of, events that might be happening that you're not aware of. So it really involves a lot of research into that company's market to understand the job market. But I think with that, you know, it starts with also building maybe your network and your social circle from scratch. So not just your professional network, but also your social network. So I think when most people hear the word networking, it sounds so like intimidating, like must go work and wear a suit and tie and show up at events with your business card. But I think the best way that I look at networking is just in terms of relationship building. So how can I connect with this person, or how can I connect with this industry? How can I communicate who I am and what I'm looking for other people? So I think when you look at it from relationship building perspective, that's some of the major challenge that can initially be overcome as you start to integrate more into society. And I think lastly, but most importantly, language. Yeah. Dutch has been a bit of a struggle for me. I even though I did all my whole citizenship integration exams and everything, studied for that. So I have a decent understanding of Dutch, but you know, when you don't speak the language in the country you're residing in, that's always really tricky, as most jobs usually prefer people who speak the language or at least multiple language or bilingual in some aspect. So that is always really challenging. So I encourage people to at least, you know, start with the basic knowledge and understanding, or just focus on international companies that are hiring that maybe don't require you to speak the local language. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah, these are some challenges I see from friends and, you know, in the Facebook groups that I'm still a part of in the Netherlands with expats. And many of them complain like, oh, I got rejected for another job because I don't speak Dutch fluently enough. And I think it's hard. I mean, I think for some languages, it can be easier to say, okay, learn the language proficiently and go for it. But I think with Dutch, it's pretty difficult because it's a difficult language and a lot of people switch to English. So I like your tip of focusing then solely on those international jobs or international companies, and to not lose your energy over trying to get something that you can know beforehand, like, okay, this is probably not going to work out for me.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think the language thing can be very discouraging, but you know, it's sometimes just redirecting your efforts. So when you're meeting people, ask where they're working, you know, what kind of languages are spoken in their teams, their companies. And I think what's quite cool about being in a country like the Netherlands is there are a lot of international companies that are large companies. Like, as I mentioned, I've worked for Uber and Reddit and Disney, and these companies that had nationalities from all over the world, but the common language being English. So in that sense, that was quite easy to integrate in that workplace. Yeah,
nice. Can you maybe share a little bit about how you guide expats through a career transition? Let's say I want to start a whole new career in the Netherlands. I'm not from there. Let's not worry about the visa part, but like, how do I start? Where do I start? I hire you. How can you help me? What do you do? And do you have some success stories to share?
Yeah, of course. So I think a lot of, the reason I even started this company is because I struggled a lot on the job market here initially. I didn't know where to start, what my CV should look like, how to interview and communicate my experience from South Africa to people here who might not be familiar with the companies that I worked for, the universities I went to there. So yeah. I think all good starting point is with the practical aspect of knowing what do I want to do, right? I think sometimes you can be so focused on like, I need a job,
yes,
that you're like, what is it that I actually want to do? So I think what I love doing is, first of all, you know, guiding people who might not be sure what path they want to go, how their skills can work, what sort of jobs might be available. So that's the one aspect. I also get clients who know exactly what they want to do. They're like, I was a project manager for 10 years in India. I want to be a project manager doing the same work in Germany or in the Netherlands or wherever. So I think that's also a good starting point. So when someone knows what they want to do, then it's about sort of working on their personal and professional branding. So professional branding involves a couple of aspects that are super key, with the one of the two most important being how your CV or resume looks, as well as your LinkedIn. LinkedIn is very well used in Western Europe. So I think having a really good profile is essential in terms of how you communicate your experience, how you get found, maybe by recruiters. As almost everyone checks out your LinkedIn profile, always out kind of stalking each other. I mean, that's how we found each other.
Yeah.
LinkedIn.
Exactly.
Would not be happening most likely if it wasn't for that. So I love helping people get their LinkedIn in order, as well as really help them tailor their CV for the roles they're doing and the industries, as well as the country they're based. As a CV here in the Netherlands can look very different from a CV here in the UK, for example.
Yeah.
You know, in Holland, you can get away with putting a picture on your resume. In the UK, they do not like pictures.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
Little differences like that you might not be aware of. The second is really developing a job search strategy. And something I hear a lot of people say when they come to me for help is, Keki, I've applied for like 300 jobs every single month. I'm not getting interviews or I'm getting so few, what is going on? So my approach is definitely more of a quality approach than a quantity approach. So it can be working with someone to be like, look, okay, instead of just applying everywhere, let's make a list of 10 to 20 companies you're really, really interested in. Out of those 10 to 20 companies, let's look at different roles, different teams, who's hiring, or even if someone's not hiring, how we can still get in touch and potentially create a role for ourselves. And then when someone does that, the next steps are helping them prepare for those interviews and then hopefully land a job offer. So I really guide people from start to beginning in their job search journey. And, you know, especially in a new market, that's super important.
Yeah. I like what you say from start to beginning and also the little details. Like I worked in London, so I remember the time like when I was applying for jobs, like no photo, whereas in the Netherlands, that was already pretty standard at the time, I think. And these are such little differences that can make you stand out in a negative way, because it shows you don't know the local market. It shows you don't know the local habits. And maybe some people view it as positively, but that's not always the case, right? Because it shows you're an outsider in a way. So I love that you focus also on these little things that make a difference, as well as like, okay, let's focus on quality. Let's focus on what you really like to do so we can find the right job for you instead of this tunnel vision of I just need to get a job, because that's also very fear driven. And as a life coach, I always feel like that kind of shows up in your energy, where in interviews or how you pursue things. So I like how you guide them. I can imagine, I mean, I was thinking just before this interview, I was thinking about my own CV, and I thought if I wanted to change careers now and I was going to apply for a job, I would have, not that I would ever want that, I love being an entrepreneur, but I would have a hard time, I think, explaining my life story, because I had two very different jobs in London, then at a, you know, and in corporate companies, then I had a government career as a diplomat. Now I'm a life coach and an entrepreneur in another country. So my CV is very fragmented in terms of locations, but also in what I did. And especially in the beginning, I think that was really linked to my expat life. I just, you know, took any job that I could find at first to make sure I could stay in London. And then I slowly pivoted into something that was more in my area of expertise. But it was really linked to my personal life. So what can expats do? Because I assume I'm not the only one with a CV like this. When they have this very fragmented CV, or maybe a CV with gaps because they followed their partner abroad and so they couldn't work, how can you sell yourself then? And do you also help them with those things?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a story like yours is quite common. I started off doing A, now I'm doing Y, I'm back to C, and I'm over here. And that tends to be the common story. And I think happens a lot with, you know, looking at career journeys these days. It's not a linear line of from A to B. But I think where I really help people communicate who they are, because it's the communication part, right? How can I get who I am on paper, on my CV, across to a person who's never met me, doesn't know why I made these decisions all my life in a clear and concise way, right? So that's really where storytelling comes in. And there's a lot, I also listen to a lot of podcasts on storytelling, and that sort of helps also with CV writing. So I think the common thing is focus on the skills you've learned. And I'm sure for you, even Amanda, now being a life coach, I'm sure your previous jobs in terms of working with people, understanding them, being a, you know, you're a great listener, you developed all those skills from maybe, you know, previous jobs that you're able to apply to what you're doing now. So what I do is really try and help people communicate the commonalities, like, okay, cool, I started off as a project manager, but now I want to go into marketing. So I may not have done marketing specifically before, but I know how to collaborate and work with different teams and manage projects. So I think that's another good way to do that, as well as, you know, train yourself on additional skills. So I think if there are courses you can take, even watching YouTube videos to get yourself school. Most people think that I need to get like another master's degree or an MBA, and that's great. That's definitely one option. But I think you can also, you know, grab low hanging fruit in the sense of looking at how you can upskill yourself, as well as speak to people in your desired field who've also maybe made career transitions. Like, you know, for example, if you look at some people's LinkedIn profiles, maybe you're a bit surprised to see, okay, they started out as a pilot for airplanes and now they're working as like the director of marketing. How did that happen? Those are the people you can also connect to and reach out to be like, hey, I noticed you're doing this, now you're doing that. I'm considering a similar transition. So, you know, you can learn from other people around you and know that you're not the first person to make those kind of moves, as well as upskill you in the process.
Yeah, these are really good tips. And I would like to ask also, you mentioned storytelling, which I love as well, but how do you actually use that in, you know, when you're applying for jobs or when you're working on your CV? And what can the listeners do with that?
Yeah, yeah. So I think when it comes to storytelling, when applying for jobs, there's sort of two key ways to do that. The first is with your CV. So really making sure that it's clear and well written in terms of what you've done. So CVs, you know, often get scanned in 7 seconds or less by the first reader who tends to recruiter. So imagine you're like, okay, how can I communicate in just a few seconds who I am? So it's very good to have a CV that has like appropriate keywords for your industry. So if you are, you know, a data scientist and they're looking for someone with coding experience, making sure that that's highlighted very clearly on your CV. And I think it's only also important to not only talk about what you did. Most people just talk about what on their CV, but not how they did it in the results. So yeah. Instead of saying something like, I run a podcast, you know, you can say, I run a podcast. I've interviewed over 1,000 people spread across, you know, 8 different countries. That gives me a much better sense, you know, what you're doing than just I run a podcast. So I think that's an effective way of storytelling as well. Mm-hmm. And second, supplement your story by also reaching out to people and connecting, be it on LinkedIn or asking for referrals, because maybe you can send your CV to someone and then supplement it with additional information like, you know, oh, I just recently relocated to the Netherlands. This is my background. In a message to someone is a lot more effective than only just sending it to them, which is really helpful. And just getting people on the phone, you know, I think what I used to do when I just moved here is I'd have like 10-minute sort of virtual coffee chats with people to be like, hey, why don't we just speak, make a bit of a connection. And that really helps in terms of telling someone what your story is, as opposed to purely just looking at your CV. So storytelling, when you make that connection, there's so many different ways to do it, but it's something you can also get better at. Yeah.
Great. I love this. Yeah. Storytelling definitely is a skill. So the more you do it, the more you practice and you become good at the skill. Yeah. So I love this. And I think the third time maybe that you mentioned your network and reaching out to people. And so let's dive a little bit into that as well, because I think, I mean, for anyone really, your network is so important. This is something that I realized as a diplomat, but also as an entrepreneur. And I can imagine if you're looking for a job, it's even like crucial to have a good network. But where you said you had 10-minute coffee chats where you also learned to practice your story. How do you get these coffee chats in? Because I imagine a lot of expats might be a little bit hesitant, like who has the time for me? Who's waiting for me? Like, why would they speak to me? Do you have any tips for that?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's actually like a lot of data that actually shows what response rates are, right? So if you reach out to someone wanting a bit of their time, wondering if there's a job, there's likely going to be a 33% response rate, right? Mm. Which is only means a third of people you message are gonna reply to the first message. The second message, if you follow up with someone to be like, hey, just checking if you got my message, I'm really interested in this or that, has a 40% response rate. And the third and final message, I don't recommend more than three, like a 60% response rate. Otherwise, it's like borderline stalking. So I think most people, when they try network, they like will message someone once somewhere. And if they don't respond, they'll be like, it doesn't work, right? So I think the first thing you are connecting with people is really to personalize your message to them. I can't tell you, Amanda, how many generic messages I've gotten, especially when I was a recruiter, saying, hi, Keki, I'd like a job. Here's my CV. And I'm like, what kind of job?
Yeah.
What are you looking for? What is, you can see it's just a standard copy paste template that they're sending out to people. And it can be a bit intimidating reaching out to people, right? Like messaging strangers on the internet comes unnatural to most people. So feel a little bit uncomfortable, but I think the more comfortable you do it, the more you personalize, tailor your messages as well, can be really, really important. And LinkedIn's great for that. It's like a giant database of people. And yeah. If LinkedIn isn't the way you want to go, you can also email people who work at companies, and email addresses usually tend to be firstname.lastname@company.com.
Yes.
So, well, if you want to go the email route, you can also reach out. I recommend reaching out to recruiters, hiring managers, fellow teammates, maybe even people who also from your country or studied at your university. As soon as you can make that kind of connection point, like I'm sure, Amanda, you might be more likely to reply to someone who, went to your university, used to work at your company. You'd feel some kind of connection to them. Little bit. So there are a lot of ways to do it. And I'm always encourage people to track it. So if you're seeing, I'm sending this message and it's getting a 2% response rate versus these messages that get a higher response rate. So experiment it. Of course, you know, be respectful of people and their time as well. And that's actually how I got my first job in Amsterdam. I messaged a lovely lady, Anita Geertz, that she was working at Douwe Egberts, and I wanted to work at Douwe Egberts. And I randomly actually just called the Douwe Egberts reception and asked to speak to someone in HR, and they put me through, and I was like, hi, I'm Keki. I just graduated. I'm looking for this and this job. Is there anything available? And she was like, yeah, actually, we just had a meeting that would like to hire an assistant to help us in our team. So yeah, imagine if I didn't make the call. Imagine if I was nervous. I probably wouldn't have gotten, and there was no advertised role. So a lot of jobs also aren't advertised necessarily, because maybe companies don't have the capacity to deal with a lot of applicants. So they want to start with internal applicants or referrals first. So you never know where someone can lead.
I love this. And I think, I mean, not a lot of people have the courage to do cold calling for jobs. I definitely didn't have that at the time. I still don't, I think. So this is a really nice tip, especially in this digital age where everything is done online. I think it's, you can make yourself stand out by just picking up the phone and calling them. So I really, really like this tip. Is there, like, do you see added value also for in-person network events and things like that to build your network?
Yeah, I think in person is really a great touch point. And the nice thing is they've already met you in real life. So it just makes it so much easier to follow up with someone if you met them at an event. And there are a lot of events happening, and, you know, I'm not sure exactly where your audience is based, but like Eventbrite, for example, you can see a lot of on Eventbrite.com, a lot of events happening in your city, as well as sometimes co-working spaces or clubhouses. So I think one of the things that really helped me feel more integrated in the Netherlands was joining communities. Yeah. So I joined a volunteer organization. I joined a church and a lot of different other communities that just sort of helped me get plugged in right away. And, you know, many of the people, those organizations are still my friends today, even if I'm not a part of them or as active. So that's always been really great. And the power of in-person networking is very, very powerful as well. So there are a lot of free events as well that companies have to also promote themselves. So they're worth checking out for sure. And being brave and going up to people and just being like, hi, I'm Keki. What's your name? What do you do? Starting.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really just about fake it till you make it. Even if you feel super nervous, just do it a couple of times. And before you know it, it has become your comfort zone and you do this easily. So I like this tip. I also like what you said about like plugging yourself into society. It's, you know, you are a person, you're not just a job seeker. You also need some bedding into where you are, and having a support system around you when you're finding or looking for a job, I think is crucial, especially if you live abroad. So it's nice that you mentioned this as well, that you found friends through a volunteer work, the church, etc., that are still part of your life. And that can maybe not help you directly with your job search, but at least make you feel like, hey, I'm part of this society. I got people to fall back on. So that's really nice. Do you have any final tips for expat job seekers, or maybe expats who just are looking for a career change or wanting to do something differently?
Yeah, I think my biggest tip would be don't let fear stop you from playing the game. Sometimes you can be so afraid to even make a step or make a move. And you know, moving countries is a really big thing, starting somewhere fresh. So I think it's natural to be a bit afraid and unsure, but I'd really encourage people just to take that first step, whatever that looks like, for their career in terms of either socially joining communities, getting their CV updated, LinkedIn, just stepping out of your comfort zone. You already moved countries, so that's a huge step out of your comfort zone. So while you're there, you can take other little steps. That would be great. And just do it afraid.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, that's amazing. I always like to say as well, like you, like if you have moved abroad already, you have shown courage. So you have that quality already within you. So when you experience fear again, just remember you have that courage already inside of you. It's just a matter of showing it again or using it again. So I really like that. Okay, I can talk for longer with you, but I know we have limited time. Just my final question that I ask for every guest on the show, and that is, what is your number one hack when it comes to living or traveling abroad?
Ooh, I love this question. Number one hack when it comes to living or traveling abroad. So this is a little bit what's helped me, but I don't know how doable this is for everyone. Try and spend as much time in the sun as possible.
Yes.
Living in an old country like the Netherlands, if you do have the opportunity to, you know, travel further south, like I go to South Africa every year for like 2-3 months, and I'm really fortunate that I can do that. And I've always had flexibility with my work too, but that really just helps me much. And I think we don't speak about the importance of of the sun.
Yeah.
So if you are living in a place, that is going to be super key to grab it whenever you can. And yeah, just enjoy your life where you're at, you know, as we all go through seasons, ups and downs. So wherever you are, just make the most of what's in front of you and have fun doing it. Yeah, it's never that serious.
Yes, I totally agree. Very nice to hear this. Keki, where can my listeners find you if they want to know more about you or want to work with you?
Yes, so I believe you'll provide the link to my LinkedIn profile, Keki Mwaba, on LinkedIn. So you can find me there. I'm also reachable via my company's website, expatcareerdevelopment.com. So both of those are great ways to find out more about me.
That's great. And by listening to you on this show today, I think LinkedIn is even the best place because that's where everything is happening. So I highly recommend to connect with you over there. Keki, thank you so much. I really appreciated your time and your practical tips, and I hope they were really useful for expats who are listening to this episode. And if you have applied, this is to my listeners, if you have applied any of Keki's tips and you found a job afterwards, please do let us know. We always love hearing your success stories and knowing that input of this show has helped you in any way in your expat life. So Keki, thank you so much. And I'm sure I'll talk to you later on again. But for now, I wish you a really good day.
Thank you so much, Amanda, for having me, and wish all your followers the best as well.